This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Let's put the rest in this notion that LeBron James could have played football.
Boo-hoo.
My ankle, my butt.
You know what you want to say? Say it. Say it.
LeBron James is soft. Are you kidding me? Four weeks off, we would have told him to put some dirt on it. First of all, I knew he was soft when he injured it.
Ah!
You remember that sound? Ah!
Didn't take much to get you to say it. Didn't take much. Never does.
We always were thinking it, man. He too big to be screaming like that. Ah! Like, come on, man. Dak Prescott had his bone sticking out. He gritted down and bit down.
Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, as always, presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline, and the Goodyear Hotline is where we go right now to welcome in the voice of the NBA and the voice of the New York Knicks.
Can I say it?
Go ahead.
Bang!
Bang! Mike, scale of 1 to 10, Mike Breen, your thoughts on that Bart Scott impression of bang.
You want me to put a number on it?
Yeah, that's right.
9.2.
Oh, man, you're too gracious. I try to.
But
like,
Bart, it's hard to just scream it. You have to have a play in front of you to get you fired up. That's the whole key.
You were the play.
I'm just flattered
you were the play, bringing you in. I'm trying to be the flavor, your fan club.
I'm just flattered that you say it. Thank you, Bart.
Mike Breen, he is the voice of the NBA on ESPN and, of course, the New York Knicks on MSG. And the Knicks is where we're starting, Mike. Could you have even imagined that the Knicks would be in this position, fourth in the Eastern Conference with seven games left in the season?
There's no way, and I've kind of looked at myself as being the most optimistic Knick observer going into every season, and I had no idea. And not just fourth of the – they have the eighth best record in the league, in the entire NBA, the eighth best record, and they've got a real chance of having home court in the first round. No, I mean, the players are all saying they knew they were going to be good, but even Tom Thibodeau has said that he didn't imagine that they would play and Randall would play at this level. It's beyond even the most optimistic Knicks fans' wildest dreams. And that's what makes it so special. You guys know it's the unexpected seasons when your favorite team has that season where they so overachieve and they're an underdog going in and just perform beyond expectations. Those, for the fans, I think in many ways, those are the most enjoyable years.
If the Knicks finish in fourth place, is Thibodeau your coach of the year?
You know, Bart, he's got to be considered. To me, there are three guys that have done phenomenal work, and he's right there at the top, along with Quinn Snyder and Monty Williams. If anybody would have said to you before the season, would the Utah Jazz and Phoenix Suns be fighting for the best record in the whole league? Same scenario, even the most optimistic fans of those two teams. So all three of them. There's a lot of good candidates for that award this year, and those three, to me, are the ones. If you told me any of those three won, I'd say great choice.
Mike Breen, voice of the NBA, voice of the Knicks, with us on Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Chris Carlin filling in for Allen today. Mike, we all know the Knicks have played amazing defense all season long because of Tom Thibodeau. Is there an underrated aspect of what they are doing and how they are doing it? And if so, what is it?
Well, there's no question. We knew that they were going to be disciplined defensively, play together defensively, and be a good defensive team. No one expected them to be this good offensively. And this recent stretch, the 12-1 in the last 13, the offense is just as much a reason, if not more, during the stretch. And it's the three-point shooting. They going into the season, the three-point shooting was considered one of their main weaknesses going in. They're third in the NBA in three-point percentage. And I think there are two reasons for that. Number one, and this is what Thibodeau constantly harps on, he doesn't mind the three-point shot. People thought, oh, he's not a big proponent of the three. No, he loves the three as long as it's the right three. And, you know, you could have a great shooter have a low shooting percentage. And the reason is his shot selection is poor. And that's the key for the Knicks' three-point shooting. Their shot selection on the three is so good. They're not taking a lot of bad threes. They're moving the ball to where they get excellent threes. And when you have better shot selection, you become a better shooter. So that's number one. And the other thing, and you guys tell me if you agree with this, I really do think with the way the season has gone, with all the restrictions on the health and safety protocol, and with all the pandemic, there's not a lot for the players to do other than practice. You're not going out at night, going when you're on the road, going to different places and clubs. You're going to gyms and shooting extra, even when you're home. Same thing. For most of the season, the restrictions on these players, they couldn't do anything. They couldn't go out anywhere, but they could go to the gym. And I think a majority of the players, and I know for a fact a majority of the Knicks, they'd go back into the gym at night. They're not going to the movies. They're not going out to clubs. They're going back to the gym and working on their shot. Same thing on the road. And I think in some ways that's a part of why so many of the different Knicks individuals have improved their three-point percentage.
Mike, this Knicks team remind me of my Pistons team that had Ben Wallace, the way they just grind you out defensively. Now, they're starting that West Coast swing this week. Today. Do you give them a fighter's chance against some of the Western elite just because you can't take a day off with them because they come and they play and bring defense every single game?
Absolutely, Bart, and it's similar to that Pistons team in that because of the defense and because of on offense how they're so connected and play for each other, they have a chance to win every night, and the defense will keep them in the game most nights. And the offense, if they're hitting their threes like they're doing, if they're not turning the ball over, which has been another key during this stretch in terms of protecting the ball, no matter what opponent, you've got a shot. Because teams are not enjoying playing against them because of that defensive pressure start to finish, because of how physical they play. It's a game where teams are going into it knowing that, oh my goodness, these guys are just going to be a pain in the neck the whole entire game. And, so even the elite teams, they can battle and play well. And some of the teams in this stretch, will they have certain players? I mean, that's a big part of every single matchup in the NBA, who's available from night in and night out. And that's also been a big key for the Knicks in that, most of their top players have been available. Yes, Mitchell Robinson's absence could have been just completely a nightmare for them. But you've had other guys pick up the slack. Taj Gibson and Nerlens Noel have been magnificent. And outside of Derrick Rose missing 10 games with the health and safety protocols, most of their guys have been available, especially Randall, especially Barrett, and the rookies, Emmanuel Quickley, who's been such a key spark off the bench, and Rose with the exception of the health and safety. So health is a big part, and if you get your whole team ready, you might have an advantage night in and night out.
Mike Breen, voice of the Knicks on MSG, and of course, voice of the NBA here on ESPN and ABC with us. Mike, let's turn to the league as a whole. It's interesting. You look at what's happening with the Nets in the East, and there's a continuity issue, and then you start to look out west. How many teams, in your estimation right now, Mike, are actually capable of winning a championship this year?
It's a great question, and I think it's more than I can remember in all these years, because it was always a lot of really good teams who matched up against other teams well for perhaps one series, but there's rarely this many that have a chance. So if you go to the West, Phoenix and Utah absolutely have a chance to win the whole thing, because I think the Clippers and the Lakers have kind of come back down to earth a little bit for various reasons, circumstances of this season a part of that. And I also put Denver, even though Jamal Murray is out, they still have a couple of other guys have to come back from injury, Will Barton and Monte Morris. But I think Denver has a chance to win the whole thing. So right there, that's five teams in the West. And in the East, I think all three at the top have a legitimate chance to win the whole thing, Philly, Brooklyn, and Milwaukee. I do think there are other teams in this conference that have a chance to winning a playoff series or maybe even two, but I think those eight teams have what it takes, if healthy, and that's a big if, to win the whole thing.
Now, I think we finally got the answer to the question if LeBron could play football, because if LeBron would have hurt his high ankle sprain, we would have told him put some dirt on or some Robitussin on it by now. So I think he proved to everybody he's not tough enough to play football. Athletically gifted enough to play? Yes. Tough enough? I don't know. But speaking about LeBron and his ankle and the fact that we know that it won't be healthy this year, What chances do you give the Lakers to repeat?
I will never count him out. Bart, I'll disagree with you on the soft comment.
Look at that. We don't scream in football. Career, Dak Prescott broke his leg and the bone came out. He didn't scream like LeBron screamed.
I get it, but this guy he's played more nights when he's been banged up. He's been, the majority of his career, he's been one of the most durable players. And when you consider all he has to do on a night-in and night-out basis, the minutes he's played, not just regular season, he's played an additional three seasons of just playoff games. He's been so durable. But, you know, as you get a little bit older, it takes a little longer to come back from each injury. Now, I don't know how bad the ankle is. It clearly was a severe high ankle sprain. And you know, Bart, when it comes to basketball, a high ankle sprain could be the worst possible injury that you can have. So it's a big question mark. I don't think teams are scared of them anymore right now by the way they played. But I'm not counting that guy out. And especially if Anthony Davis plays like he did last night and like he did in the finals last year. You know, there was the same whispers last year in the bubble, like, I don't know. You know, they've been up and down. Remember, they lost the first round of each of the first two playoff series. They look like they're vulnerable. And then he's got this way of when it matters most, playing at a level that very few have ever reached. So I'm not counting them out at all.
Mike Breen, voice of the NBA, joining us via the Goodyear Hotline. Mike, I want to go to the Nets for a second. When you look at the fact that these guys haven't played together, is too much or not enough being made of the continuity issue?
No, I mean, continuity is certainly important. But all three of their stars, you know, star players have a way of figuring it out and being able to play with each other if they're all willing to sacrifice. And we've seen that from them, even in the little limited amount of time they play together. Like Kyrie Irving went to James Harden and said, hey, you're the point guard. You take care of it. I'll do my thing, but you run the team. So he's shown his sacrifice. Harden, when he first came, was also, he's looking to distribute as much as he is to score. He's changed the way he's played than when he had to play that way in Houston. And they really haven't had a chance to play with Durant, all three of them together. But I don't think that's a problem. And then you add to the fact that they have such an underrated group of support players and role players that have really been instrumental in them staying near the top of the East, even with the star players out, that it's a great roster up and down, and they can play a number of different ways. So I don't think it's enough to overcome all the talent they have and the lineups they can put out there, but they have to have Harden back, because as great as Irving and Durant are, I think Harden is the key if they're going to win a championship.
We've seen it the last couple of games. Last one, Mike. Do you like the play-in tournament? Do you think it's something that we're going to see for the long term in the league?
I do like it. I mean, Chris, look at this. There's less than 2 weeks left in the regular season, and three quarters of the league are still playing games that have or could have meaning. It's kind of dropped the last couple of days because some of the teams are falling off a little bit. But, you know, everybody for years complained about tanking.
Yep.
In the last month of the season, the lineups that were put out there and guys who were being rested, it was awful. And that's changed. Now, you're never going to eliminate tanking, and this system is not perfect. But there's going to be so many exciting games the final couple of weeks of the regular season that have real, real meaning. And then you throw in these play-in games, four of the six of them are going to be, you lose and you're done. I think it's terrific. Again, it's not perfect. You don't want to think that a number seven seed who wins 10 games more than the 10 seed gets knocked out by them just by losing a game. But I think it's a good thing. I think it's brought about excitement. I thought it's really felt it's limited tanking, and I do think it's probably going to be here to stay.
Michael, excellent stuff as usual. We appreciate the time and looking forward to Knicks Nuggets tonight.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Bart.
Mike Breen, voice of the NBA and voice of the Knicks on MSG. And it's interesting. You have to recalibrate how you think about the Knicks right now.
Yeah.
Because of how well they have played over the last month, it now goes from the Knicks getting into the playoffs was a major, major step forward to, if the Knicks actually got the four seed and lost a first-round series, it would be a disappointment.
Yeah, it's a little bit of disappointment. It's dependent on who they go against, right? Because I believe if they have Boston or they have the Hawks, you hope that they can grind it out, especially with home court advantage. And but you never know, right? We're going to find out a lot about this team, and it's going to be great to see how they respond, because playoffs is a different thing. And a lot of these young guys like Barrett and, of course, Quickly, they don't have that type of experience. And it's always an adjustment period, especially when you go against a veteran team, maybe like Boston or the Heat, that has that type of experience but also has that grit that can grind you out too. Because if they get Miami, that's a bad matchup.
Yeah.
Because Bam is just huge, and the Knicks have yet to beat them. And they're looking at a mirror image of themselves just with better pieces and better parts.
Mike Breen brought us Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. 888-729-3776. 888-SAY-ESPN. You can tweet the show at Bart and Han as well. Let's hit a call here. Mel in Jersey is up next. Bart and Han on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Hey, Mel, what's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. I like to say I love this play-in tournament, because even from day one of the NBA season, I felt like a little electricity and energy that people were providing. I thought it came from the bubble, but I definitely think now it's because of the play-in tournament, because I see a lot of teams are still fighting and clawing for a position. Maybe even the Knicks fed off that energy and started off great,
I'll tell you why I never really disliked it, but I've really come around more on it.
Mm-hmm.
I love the fact that so many players that are in the 5 and 6 spot are annoyed by it, that they're trying so hard to stay out of it.
Exactly.
And then at the same time, Mike's right. We haven't heard the word tanking very much this year.
Exactly.
Those were the intended consequences.
Exactly. And when you think about, what can possibly happen, it gives us that March Madness type of feel, right? We can have a Cinderella guy that's taken out. But who's to say that the team that's in the 7th seed or the 10th seed can't go and maybe push a high seed, in a series, especially when you talk about the Golden State Warriors. Last year, the team that nobody would have wanted to play was that New Jersey, that Brooklyn team, right? That that Nets team. If KD and Kyrie would have went into the bubble, nobody would have wanted to see that team. And sometimes, you're victims of injuries, of circumstance, COVID. And teams are getting healthy at the right time. So it gives teams that have great players coming back reason to say, you know what, we can come back and we can compete and we can be a much better team than our record indicates that we are. I mean, just look at what's happening with the Wizards. I don't know if anybody wants to play them right now with how hot Russell Westbrook is and how in the danger, which is Bradley Beal, who if he doesn't win the scoring title, he's going to be right up there.
You want to be in a one-game spot with them?
Right. Exactly. Where Westbrook can go for 20, 20, and 20? Nah. Yeah. Hell no.
To me, and at times, there's nothing better than seeing a superstar really annoyed about being in a bad
spot. I got to play it. Now I got to play hard.
And Mike's right when he talks about the Knicks. There are going to be guys down the stretch of the season here. I don't want to deal with this
their
guy.
Whole team are Patrick Beverleys. Somebody going to get a tech for elbowing somebody or something like that, right? Because they're going to feel like they got fouled or something happened. He elbowed me or he fouled me hard and didn't get called. We saw it the other day with Ja Morant.
I tell you what, this is fascinating to watch play out over the last week and a half. That's why I've come around in the play-in, and the Knicks have been just an amazing story this year. Up next, we will hear from Steve Nash, who will finally admit something I've been waiting for him to admit all year, and exactly what is going on with the best pitcher in baseball. We will get an update in moments. It's Bart and Han on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Back right after this little message from Bart and our friends at Home Depot.
Spring makes all things new, and the Home Depot makes all spring things possible. Start a garden, refinish a deck, use the Home Depot mobile app to put over 2 million products in the palm of your hand. Some ready for pickup in as little as 2 hours. Oh, and if you don't have the tools you need to get the job done, the Home Depot Tool Rental Department does. Download the Home Depot mobile app to get started. Bring it on, spring, with innovative help from the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Han.
History would say they would have to play at least a dozen games together, and that's going to be something that potentially the Nets are facing down as being a little bit challenging.
For as good as the Nets are on offense, you still need to be able to play at both ends to win, ultimately.
I'm not worried about the offense. I'm worried about the defense. James Harden, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Durant will figure out how to make it work because they're that damn good.
ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance, offering coverage options as unique as your business. Progressive covers companies of many sizes and specialties. Learn more at progressivecommercial.com. Chris Carlin in for Alan Hahn today. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, brought to you by the aforementioned Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Hey, got to say happy 26th anniversary at ESPN to the great Christine Lisi. That's outstanding today.
I wonder if she made cookies for herself.
I hope so.
Send me some.
When we were up there last week and she made the cookies that were out there, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Amazing.
30 minutes later, I had diabetes, but I loved it.
It is time for audio files. All right. Let us start with Steve Nash, head coach of the Nets. We saw them just a moment ago, heard from them just a moment ago. Here is Nash after that loss last night to the Bucks. Second straight to the Bucks, third straight overall, on how this team can overcome the lack of time together.
We've got a gap to make up here. So we understand that's a team that's been running the same offense, been playing together, same schemes on defense for years now, gone deep into the playoffs, and that's something that we don't have. So how can we make up that gap? And that's kind of our life in a nutshell heading home here is, you know, we're trying to get everyone back to full health, and we're going to try to overcome a lack of common experiences. And, you know, that is our challenge as much as anything. So while we do that, can we be more physical? Can we be more connected? Can we handle and control some of the controllables that can help us hang in some of these games and win some of these games while we're trying to put the pieces together?
You know, I understand the notion of not playing together. And as Mike Breen was talking about a few minutes ago with us, they are all so supremely talented that you have to figure they're going to be able to work that out.
Yeah.
But I almost feel like that's Steve Nash kind of covering up the fact that in the fourth quarter last night, the Bucks went on an 18-1 run. Yeah. And the Nets defensively are terrible. Hmm. Absolutely terrible.
So the pregame speech is going to go a little like, to beat this team, we need defense. We ain't got any defense. And we haven't played long enough, so our chemistry is bad. We're going to have to rely on scoring power. All out onslaught.
I don't think he has to give them the speech. I think that's exactly how they're thinking without it.
But listen, they have confidence, right? They've seen this team twice. And it's good that they've seen this team twice because they'll make the necessary adjustments. And Blake Griffin, I think, is a better option than putting DeAndre Jordan out there on Giannis because he has the foot speed once Giannis takes him away from the basket. And Giannis has hit 3 points, but I tell you, 3-point shots of late. But I tell you what, we're going to continue to give you
some blowbys last night on Blake Griffin.
I mean, we're going to continue to give you that shot. But I tell you what, we're going to crowd you just a little bit to make you a little bit more uncomfortable. I think it was a lot disrespectful when you're underneath the free throw line and the man is wide open at the 3-point shot. I mean, he missed one. They gave it back to him. He was able to take a dribble, breathe, and remember to keep his elbow tucked in.
He wasn't like, in the area, coach.
Yeah, you want to play a little bit tighter defense. You got to get up in him and understand that you got to have somebody to protect the basket at the end. You know, I think, you know, maybe they have to go with the young kid to come out there and give him some more spring. DeAndre Jordan clearly can't play in that series, even if Brook Lopez is out there, because Brook Lopez is able to shoot the 3-point shot.
Tighter defense or any defense would be nice. Last two nights, again, last two games against Milwaukee, KD and Kyrie have combined to go for 70 and 62, and they've lost both of them.
Defend
a little bit, please.
Yeah, exactly. A little bit. And get the others, and I think they got to turn their defensive intensity up early in the game. not just try and do it when they realize that the game's almost over.
Best pitcher in the game is Jacob DeGrom. Did not make his start yesterday because of tightness in his side. Here is Mets manager Luis Rojas.
He let us know earlier today that he had some tightness on his right side. I saw him before coming to the field, and he was stretching, trying to feel his right side a little bit, and that's when we started discussing whether he was going to start or not, and then we got to the point where he's not, and he's getting further tests right now, and then we're waiting to see some result.
The MRI came back clean, so that's good news, but it's unclear when he's going to pitch next. They're shutting him down for a couple of days, maybe over the weekend, but they have not put him on the injured list yet. So that's, it, at the very least, a positive sign for the Mets that they haven't gone and done that. I would think, at least from a housekeeping thing, like, why rush him back this weekend? Take, you know, he hadn't pitched in 3 days, so it would be retroactive. Take the full time and let him be where he needs to be.
Exactly. This is one guy that you can't afford to lose, because if you got any aspiration of going anywhere, it's going to be based on his arm and the fact that you can count on him for two wins or two shutout performances, because we don't know if you're going to get the win.
You can count on him not giving up runs.
Yeah, exactly. they're going to score anything behind him, but you can count on him having two outstanding games in a series, so you got to make sure that he's healthy.
All right. We had a little from Brett Favre before. We've got more!
One thing I love more than Brett Favre is more Brett Favre.
And so does Brett Favre. ESPN Wisconsin. Brett did a lengthy interview today. And let's hear from Brett a little bit on the Aaron Rodgers situation. And first up, does he think that Aaron will return to the Packers?
Boy, that's a good question. That's a $1 million question. I think I know Aaron fairly well. And honestly, I just don't see him coming back and just saying, all right, let's bury the hatchet, whatever caused the rift. I'm just going to come back and play because I love the guys. I love the Green Bay fans. I assume that he does. But his rift isn't with the fans nor the players. It's with the front office, So will he just swallow his pride and come in? Maybe, but I don't see that happening. I if there's not a trade, my gut tells me that he'd rather sit out than play.
I have to tell you, I mean, you hear this from Favre. We all have been kind of feeling this way anyway. We've seen Aaron Rodgers and how he's dealt with different relationships in his personal and professional life. Favre, in this instance, to me, is just kind of jumping into this story and wanting to be a part of it.
Captain Obvious, man. Like, come on, man. Like, can I hear from somebody that really knows him, like Greg Jennings or Jones? Can I hear from Jordy Nelson, please?
No.
Can I hear from one of those guys? Because
they know him
a lot better.
Here's who you can hear from. Brett Favre again. Here he is. And I know that I'm just killing him for talking about it. I keep playing his sound because he's Favre, and here he is on any advice he would have for Aaron Rodgers.
You don't want to go out this way, whether it's sit out or play somewhere else. I mean, a lot of people would love to see him sit out. I can name a lot. Everybody in the NFC would love to see him sit out or come to their team. Either one. But they don't want to see him go back to Green Bay. And that's what I'd like to see.
Listen, it is beyond hypocritical for him to sit there and say, go back to Green Bay.
The fans.
Don't
the fans
go
didn't
out
do
this
it to
way.
You. Like,
I mean, this is the same guy who could not wait to get to the Minnesota Vikings to stick it to the Packers.
Had to take a detour, right?
Yeah.
Had to take a detour with the Jets and couldn't wait to go be able to get back into the same division so he can stick it to him. Like, stop it, man. Like, listen, it's one of these
things. You're talking about the fact that your gripe is with management, not the fans or the players. Duh. Of course it is. Just like yours was.
Right. I mean, what Aaron Rodgers either can leave on his terms or leave on Green Bay's terms. When they've decided to drive Jordan Love and give up equity, he's not going to be there one, 2 years, where Aaron Rodgers thinks that he has more football left in there. So if I'm not going to be here, let me start my new voyage when I look at all these great opportunities that's out there before guys like the Jets or guys like Houston find their heir apparent, or somebody down in New Orleans find an heir apparent when they draft some young quarterback. Next year, if he's on the Green Bay Packers, it's going to definitely be some first-round draft picks that are going to plug some holes for teams that has obvious needs, and he wants to make sure that he can do it before they get there.
One thing I do want to at least ask this question. Mm-hmm. If you're the Packers, don't you have to come to this resolution sooner rather than later? Because you actually have the ability this year to take all that money and the hit on the cap in 1 year as opposed to spreading it out over two if you wait until after June 1st. It's a little in the weeds, but like you can handle that this year if you have to.
Yeah, but they know they're not going to win a title. Right? With Aaron Rodgers, you have hopes that, listen, if you're not the best
That's
team
why I want
NFC,
to get it over with.
Yeah, if you're not a team in the NFC, you're top three in the NFC as far as power rankings. But without him, you go all the way down and probably drop all the way to the middle, maybe to the bottom of the pack because of the unknown at the quarterback position. And you're saying, I want to try and win a title. If you do that, you're pressing reset and you're in full rebuild mode. Now, it won't take you long to reload, but it's going to take you a couple of years before you even be considered as a legitimate threat in the NFC.
Up next, Bart has said it. What is it? It is his definitive opinion on LeBron James. Your calls on LeBron, on the Astros, on Aaron Rodgers, on the Knicks. 888-729-3776. 888-SAY-ESPN. Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus is brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. Your turn next on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Bart and Hahn.
Let's put to rest this notion that LeBron James could have played football. Boo hoo. My ankle, my butt.
You know what you want to say? Say it. Say it.
LeBron James is soft. Are you kidding me? 4 weeks off, we would have told him to put some dirt on it. First of all, I knew he was soft when he injured it. Ah! You remember that sound? Ah! I'm just willing to say what they want. You know what I mean? It's been long enough, man. Like, I don't want to hear you complaining. Everybody's injured. Everybody's hurt. How about Russell Westbrook playing with a torn quad and then injured the other quad? Like, I don't want to hear your excuses, LeBron. Quit baking in stories or baking in excuses about why you can't repeat as champion.
LeBron James is soft. That from Bart Scott.
Hey, I'm just saying. Like, the bully finally got hurt, and we see how he responded to being hurt.
888-729-3776. 888-SAY-ESPN. Ah! Bart and Hahn. That sound is going to come back to haunt you. Like, it's going to be in your dreams, that sound, because it's going to be played so much.
Wouldn't be the first regret I had in my life.
888-ESPN. May not be the first you had today. Let's get to Dave. He is in Meadowlands. What is it? Meadowlands? Dave, what's up? You're on Bart and Hahn on ESPN. Where are you?
East Meadow, Long Island.
Long Island. What's going on, bud?
What's up? Good. I want to say I like the play-in tournament. It seems like the Mavericks owner liked it and LeBron liked it, but now they don't like it because they might be in it.
Exactly.
But I think it prevents a little bit of the tanking. I mean, you still see what the Cavs did with Drummond, and the Pistons are shutting five guys down a game, and OKC, what they did with Horford is absolutely awful. But it seems like it's only four or five teams doing it rather than eight or nine. So
exactly.
I guess it's definitely a good thing.
It's not. A third of the league.
Yeah, and it keeps all the markets engaged too, right? So it keeps the TV ratings up because you couldn't continue to watch your team because you're intrigued. I mean, in Golden State, usually they would have stopped watching, but now they're saying, "Hey, man, if Steph gets in, and even if he loses, it's entertaining what he's been able to do as far as carrying his team on his back, showing that he still can play at a high level at what 32, 33 years old."
As Mike Breen was talking about earlier, there were embarrassing lineups prior to doing this.
Yes.
In the last couple of years, there were teams that were barely G-League lineups.
Exactly.
And now, you know, at least teams are trying to fight their way into it because those teams can have the mentality of you never know what can happen in a game or two. Meanwhile, the other teams are having, you never know what can happen in a game or two.
If it wasn't a play-in tournament, don't you think they probably would have shut Bradley Beal down or shut Russell Westbrook down? But because they know that they were within striking distance, just getting to 10 and knowing that they can be a dangerous team if they get in and how important it is for them to say, hey, man, we made this trade to John Wall and we are a playoff team, they're still playing hard. right? So I think that's the benefit. You get to see teams not shut their superstars down, and it doesn't alienate, you know, the region in which they play in.
Ryan in Dallas thinks that your LeBron James take is soft. Ryan, what's up? You're okay. On Bart and Hahn.
Hey, I big fan. I want to say go Birds, first of all. Now, if you hate LeBron James, look, I'm just going to speak on his character, right? Because we could talk all day, go back and forth on the GOAT LeBron James talk. But if you hate LeBron James, you hate your own mother, all right?
I love my mom.
It's just the truth. The man, I don't know. Because the man, you know, he starts school. He does so much for the community.
I'm not attacking his character off the court. I'm talking about on the court, right? He's already baking in excuses about why I'll never be 100%. Well, who in the hell is 100% at this point of any season, at any sport, right? He's starting to bake in, oh, I don't like the playing tournament. Whoever made this up should be fired. Well, go talk to Jeannie Buss, because we put up your old comments. You said you loved it. But are you trying to change the narrative about what the playing tournament is all about, because you don't want to play in it, right? Boo-hoo, right? Stop complaining. Just go about your business. But we don't want to hear these excuses. If this was Kawhi Leonard saying, oh, I need to do load management, we'd be tearing him up. But LeBron James, in essence, is doing load management because he's been hurt for over 4 weeks.
Donovan in Virginia next on Bart and Hahn on LeBron and Aaron Rodgers. Donovan, what's going on, bud?
Hey, what's going on, man? Hey, first point about LeBron. LeBron, you know what I'm saying, him complaining about he'll never be 100% in his career, that's like Ben Roethlisberger saying, you know what I'm saying, maybe I don't have it anymore. Just suck it up, LeBron. Him talking about this playing tournament, somebody should be fired. Damian Lillard said, if I can play in the bubble, if I can compete for a championship, I ain't coming. You know what I'm saying? I ain't nothing I want more. Second point, if Aaron Rodgers lands in Denver, even though I love Derek Carr, Russell Wilson will be in Vegas, and they got points to prove it. A lot of celebrities are getting residency in Vegas. It's already Vegas.
You got some of that Vegas Usher. You got some of that Usher fake money. You got some of that fake Usher money they was throwing.
It looked real in the dark. But imagine this AFC West, man: Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson, and Aaron Rodgers. Man, that's all I got, man.
Listen, Russell Wilson in Vegas.
He wants there because he wants to, because Ciara ain't putting out no good albums, so all she can do is a residency of the stuff that she did before.
Residencies pay, man.
I know that. That's why Ciara want to get the hell out of there, because she's doing that right now. She's headlining the fish market in Seattle.
That's rough. There's Greg. You got 10 seconds. Greg in Charleston, go.
Oh. Greg. What's up? Can you hear me?
Yeah, go.
Hey. Thanks for taking the phone call. I want to make this comparison with Bart. Why are you hating on Brett Favre so much?
No, because Brett Favre been in a tree stand hating from afar. He been talking about everything from politics to football. Nobody wants to hear from Brett Favre. Go back in your tree stand, shoot some damn deer.
You missed any portion of the show? Get both hours. Bart and Hahn posted daily as a podcast.
Send me some venison sausage.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio, or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.